The scripture reading is Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm of David. It's a psalm that David wrote after he had seen the sins that he had committed against God's sixth and seventh commandments. The history behind this psalm is 2 Samuel 11, the passage that speaks of how David had gone in unto Bathsheba and how he, after Bathsheba had become pregnant, he murdered her husband Uriah. Now David sees his sin, and he cries out in Psalm 51 for forgiveness. Verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Thus far we read the infallibly inspired word of God tonight. The text is verse 5. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We, like David, are sinners. David was a sinner. David committed actual sins. And when we speak of committing actual sins, what we mean is he sinned against God's commandments during his life. And that's very clear. In 2 Samuel 11, which gives us the history behind this psalm, we read of two outstanding sins in David's life. First, we read there that he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. When she had become pregnant, he tried to cover that up. He murdered her husband Uriah. Sinned against the sixth and seventh commandments. Now David, after he sinned against those commands, he went on for over a year without confessing those sins. That's according to 2 Samuel 11. He went on for over a year. But after a year, God sent Nathan the prophet to David, and Nathan the prophet brought him the word. By God's grace, David saw now that he had sinned against God, and he was sorry. But in the midst of his godly sorrow over those actual sins, he began to wonder. He thought, how is it possible that I have sinned so terribly against God? How could I have done these horrible, horrible things? By God's grace, he began to see that those sins had poured forth from a sinful and corrupt nature. That's how it happened. David saw then that he was in need for forgiveness for those actual sins against the sixth and seventh commandments. But he also needed forgiveness for his nature, for his sinful, corrupt nature. It's not just David, however, that's a sinner. Each one of us is also a sinner. We too commit actual sins, sinning against God's commandments. And we commit actual sins, and when we come to God's house on the Sabbath day and hear His word proclaimed, or when we read His word throughout the week, we begin to see those sins. We see how awful they are, and we too begin to wonder. We think, how could I have done that deed? How could I possibly have done such a terrible thing? And by God's grace, we then too also see that those sins come forth from our polluted, corrupt natures. We need forgiveness. We need forgiveness for our actual sins, but also for our sinful nature itself. We are sinners, and we must confess our sins as David did in Psalm 51. David confessed in this psalm his actual sins. Verse 2 and verse 3, he says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity." Verse 3, "I acknowledge my transgressions." David had confessed his actual sins, but then he also confesses the source of those sins in verse 5. The source of those sins. He says, "I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So he's acknowledging there that those sins against the sixth and seventh commandment had poured forth from his sinful nature. So he's saying there, I'm a sinner to the core, and I need forgiveness. And I also need strength. I need the life of the Spirit within me to put away those sins, to walk in God's ways. That's Psalm 51. Now, David in this psalm is addressing God in this text. He's making a confession. But he's also really addressing all of God's people and calling us to join him in making this confession. Let's understand tonight then how wicked we are. Let's understand our great need for the Savior. And let's join David and cry out, "Lord, forgive me for my sins and for my sinful nature, and create in me a clean heart that I might go forth and walk in God's ways." Let's consider this text under the theme, confessing the origin of my sin. Confessing the origin of my sin. First, the origin of my sin. Second, confessing the origin. And third, the importance of confessing. First, the origin. Second, confessing the origin. Third, the importance of that confession. First, the origin of my sin. My actual sins pour forth from my polluted nature. My actual sins come forth from my nature. David shows that. He shows that our sins pour forth from our corrupt natures when he says that he was shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. Now, to see how wicked we truly are in our natures, we have to understand what those two words, iniquity and sin, mean in verse 5? The Holy Spirit inspired David to use those two words, iniquity and sin, for a reason. So let's see what those words mean. Iniquity literally means to bend, twist, or distort God's law. Bend it. God's law, which is His standard for holiness, it calls men to love God and love the neighbor. But one who commits iniquity, he bends God's law so that instead of loving God and loving the neighbor, he hates God and he hates the neighbor and serves himself. That's iniquity, bending God's law. The text also uses the word sin. The word sin, as many of us know, it literally means in the Hebrew to miss the mark. We've heard that before. We're familiar with that phrase, but let's be reminded again of what it means. To miss the mark. Just as every archer has a mark at which he is to aim his arrow, a target, so also do we have a mark or a target at which we are to aim our lives. And that mark or target is the glory of God. Now, to miss the mark does not mean that you see the target, you aim for it, and you just miss. No. To miss the mark has the idea that you see the target in front of you, the glory of God, and when you sin, you turn around and you aim in the opposite direction. You're like an archer that sees the target and takes his arrow and bow and he points that way. The opposite way. That's sin. That's how bad sin is. It's rebellion. Now David, he committed acts of iniquity and sin throughout his own life. Individual acts. For instance, when he sinned against God's sixth and seventh commandments, he was bending God's law. He certainly was not loving God and loving the neighbor. He was serving his own lusts. He certainly was not aiming his life at the glory of God. He was aiming at his own self. Acts of iniquity and sin. But David, he not only committed individual acts of iniquity and sin, but he was also born in iniquity and conceived in sin. Those are the words of our text. I was shapen in iniquity. That verb shapen there, it could be translated brought forth. He's saying, I was brought forth in iniquity and conceived in sin. We must be clear on what these phrases do not mean. That David was brought forth in iniquity does not mean that the act his mother performed in bringing him forth was sinful. Doesn't mean that. That David was conceived in sin does not mean that the sexual act by which his mother conceived him was sinful. Doesn't mean that. First, that David was shapen or brought forth in iniquity positively means that he was born in the sphere of iniquity. He was born in the condition of iniquity. That phrase means that iniquity entirely pervaded his nature already at birth, so that he was full of iniquity already when he was brought forth, full of it. It means that the extent of the corruption of his nature was total and complete in every respect, so that his nature's desire was to bend and twist God's law already at birth, totally corrupt. But notice there's another phrase. The psalmist David does not stop there by saying he was shapen in iniquity or full of iniquity. The psalmist then adds, in sin did my mother conceive me. And this verse here is an example of Hebrew parallelism. In Hebrew parallelism, what often happens is there's a first line that gives to you an idea, a truth, and then there's a second line that builds on and completes the thought of the first line. So the first line says, I was shapen in iniquity, so I was full of iniquity already when I was brought forth. Then the second line builds on and completes that thought by saying, I was conceived in sin. So I was not just full of iniquity when I was brought forth, I was full of sin already when I was conceived. At the very moment, the very beginning of my life, full of sin. Even as an unborn child then, the heart, the mind, the will, the emotions were filled with a desire to twist and bend God's law. Sinner to the core. Now, what led David? What led David to see the terrible condition in which he dwelt? What led him to see this truth about his sinful nature and the corruption of his sinful nature? Well, what led him to see that was first seen by the grace of God, his actual sins. When Nathan the prophet came to him, Nathan the prophet exposed his actual sins against the sixth and seventh commandments. And then David wondered, he thought, how is it possible that I've done these terrible things? And by the grace of God, then he began to see that those sins had come forth from his nature, a polluted, corrupt nature. David was conceived and born in sin. We also are conceived and born in sin. Each one of us, including our infant children, including that child even in the womb, each one of us has a corrupt nature. We commit actual sins every day. We know that. We have struggles with lusts and we murder with our words. We get angry wrongly. We lie with our mouths. We have missed the mark an innumerable amount of times. Yet I do not just commit actual sins. I too am a polluted sinner. I too am a polluted sinner just like David was. I have a nature that's twisted. It's corrupt. The newborn baby, the child in the womb, has a nature that's twisted, is corrupt, completely turned against God. And we see that when we begin to examine our lives. As I look at my life, I see sin. I fall into terrible sins. You fall into terrible sins. Murder, lust, anger. And as we see those sins, we, by the grace of God, begin to see that those sins pour forth from the very fabric of our being. They come forth from who we are. And the same thing is true regarding our children, even our little children. Think of it. We see already children that are very small sinning. Maybe they want a certain toy and another child has it. They push that child out of the way. They grab it for themselves. Selfishness. Now when we see that, we see by the grace of God that that sin is pouring forth from their sinful nature. And that child in the womb already has that sinful nature. Sinner is a name that perfectly describes even the child in the womb. Now we must see a qualifying truth about this. Just as it meant for David, this truth that we have sinful natures does not mean that we are not regenerated children of God. It doesn't mean that we are not regenerated children of God. We have sinful natures. That's often called the old man of sin. But that sinful nature, that coexists within us with the new man, the regenerated life of Jesus Christ. So we have an old man in us and a new man as regenerated children of God. And the new man, understand, does not completely conquer the old man of sin during this life. We are always going to have an old man of sin within us until the day that we die. And we understand that we have that old man within us because we experience a war every day, a battle within us. That we have an old man of sin within us, that explains why we are so attracted to sin. It explains why even sitting here right now, it is hard to praise God from our hearts, to listen. It's hard. It's hard to sing praises from our hearts when we will be done in a little while. That's difficult because we have that sinful nature. Now, we must understand that Psalm 51, verse 5, is speaking of us as we are in our sinful natures. Corrupt, polluted, to the core. So that's the first thing about the origin of our sin. Our actual sins that we commit every day flow forth from our sinful, polluted natures. But now, regarding the origin of our sin, we have to see where that polluted nature comes from. Where does it come from? Why do I have it? Well, that polluted nature, according to the text, comes to us from our parents. It's passed down to us from our parents. Psalm 51, verse 5 says, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. By saying that he was conceived in sin, David was teaching that a sinful nature is passed on through the generations from parents to children. My parents are sinful. My parents are sinful because their parents were sinful. And if you begin to trace this sinful nature down, you will get all the way back to Adam and Eve, our first parents. All men have a polluted nature because this is passed on to them from Adam and Eve, who committed the first sin in the Garden of Eden. Adam disobeyed God's command in the garden. He set his will in opposition to God by partaking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam became sinful in his very being by the just judgment of God. But understand that Adam did not sin, and Adam did not become sinful as an individual. Adam sinned and he became polluted with sin as the father of all mankind. Acts 17, verse 26 shows that every single human has come from Adam. Acts 17, verse 26 says that God of one blood hath made all nations of men. All men come from one blood, Adam. Adam then is the fountainhead. He's the fountainhead from which the entire stream of humanity flows forth. Now, as the father of all mankind and the one who was completely defiled, Adam transmitted his corruption to you and to me and to all mankind. If the fountainhead is corrupt, then all of the waters that stream forth from it are corrupt and polluted. So we, human beings who have streamed forth from the fountainhead, Adam, we stand in polluted waters. We are corrupt, polluted in our natures. That's where our sins rise from, that polluted nature that's passed on from our parents. Now this transmitting of corruption from generation to generation, this is known as the truth of original pollution. Original pollution. And original pollution is one part of the doctrine of original sin. That's a Reformed doctrine, something that we confess as Reformed believers. Let's see that a moment. Let's turn in the back of our Psalters. Please turn with me to page 43. And there we're going to read Belgic Confession, Article 15, just part of that confession. Page 43, Article 15. This article is going to show us the truth of original pollution, this truth that sin is passed on through the generations. Now listen closely. We believe that through the disobedience of Adam, original sin is extended to all mankind, which is a corruption of the whole nature and an hereditary disease, wherewith infants themselves are infected even in their mother's womb, and which produceth in man all sorts of sin, being in him as a root thereof, and therefore is so vile and abominable in the sight of God that it is sufficient to condemn all mankind. So we see there, when our confession speaks of original sin, it's especially referring to that original pollution. That's something we confess as Reformed believers. We say, I am vile and abominable in God's sight of myself. Corrupt. Now we are finding the origin of our sinful nature right now. We've seen that our sinful nature is passed on to us from our parents. But now we have to ask, again, why? Why is a sinful nature passed on from my parents to me? It's passed on from our parents to us because we are guilty in Adam. That's the reason. It's God's just judgment upon us because we are guilty in Adam. Adam and Eve were guilty before God because of their sin in the garden. Guilt is the legal state of one who has done wrong against God, and he's thus liable for temporal and eternal punishment. Now, Adam had sinned against God, and thus he was guilty, liable for temporal and eternal punishment. Now, follow this. We are guilty in Adam because Adam was our representative head in the garden. Our representative head. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22 shows that. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 says, For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That verse teaches that Adam was our head. He was acting on behalf of us in the garden. And God, he imputed, or he credited, the sin of Adam to your account and to my account. He imputed that sin of Adam to the account of your child in the womb, to the account of that little infant child. God legally transferred that sin of Adam to our accounts. Because when Adam sinned, we sinned. When he declared war on God, I declared war on God in the garden. Because that sin is imputed to our accounts, we as well as our children are guilty. Guilty before God and liable to punishment already at conception. Now, since every man is guilty before God in Adam, God has punished every man with a polluted nature. That's really spiritual death. He's punished us all with spiritual death, a polluted, corrupt nature. Along with David, we and our children are justly polluted already at conception because we are guilty on account of having Adam's sin imputed to us. Belgic Confession Article 15 speaks of our original pollution, as we saw. But Belgic Confession Article 15 also speaks of the truth of original guilt. The idea that Adam's sin was imputed to us. The very beginning of Article 15 says this. It says, We believe that through the disobedience of Adam, original sin is extended to all mankind. That implies that Adam acted on behalf of us. So as Reformed believers, we confess tonight, I believe that Adam acted on behalf of me in the garden. I believe that Adam's guilt was imputed to my account. I believe that I am guilty in Adam and liable for punishment in him. That's the origin of our sin. My sins come forth from my polluted nature. My polluted nature is passed on to me from my parents, and it's passed on to me from my parents because I'm guilty in Adam. Now let's understand that we have the calling to confess the origin of our sin. Confess it. It must be confessed. But this confession is very difficult to make. Let's understand what it means to confess. Confessing your sin and your sinful nature is pointing out to God that you are a sinner. It's pointing out your sins to God and crying out for forgiveness. We see that that's what David did eventually in this psalm. In verse 5, he says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin." But notice how the verse starts. It says, "Behold," or "Look, O God, see this. I have a sinful nature. I need forgiveness." David's making a confession here. But know this, that confessing was very difficult for David, since David's nature was full of pride. David went on for over a year without confessing. It was very, very difficult. He did not want to confess before the holy God that he had a sinful nature and was corrupt and polluted. He did not want to go before God and confess that there was no way that he could deliver himself out of the depths of sin. He did not want to say that. He would rather simply avoid speaking of that sin before the holy God. Maybe just let it pass by, ignore it, hide it. David also did not want to speak of his shame publicly before others. Did not want to confess to God, but didn't want to confess to anyone else either. He did not want to admit before others that he was totally sinful, polluted, corrupt. He wanted others to think highly of him, to speak well of him. He would rather just remain silent about it. Hopefully it would all be swept under the rug. It was difficult for David to confess. He had pride. But many today also, and in the past, they refuse to confess their sinful natures because it is too difficult to put away sinful pride. The Roman Catholic Church, following the example of Pelagius, denies the truth regarding man's corrupt nature. Pelagius was a man who lived in the early church, about at the time of Augustine, a great church father. And Pelagius was a heretic. He denied that he needed to confess his sinful nature because he said that men are not naturally polluted. He said that really man has no connection to Adam. No connection. In fact, the only reason that men ever sin is that they had bad examples that came before them. But he really said man is born innocent without an inclination to sin. Now, Pelagius was condemned by the Roman Catholic Church. But many in the Roman Catholic Church eventually adopted what's known as semi-Pelagianism. And semi-Pelagianism is the teaching that man is not dead in sin, is not polluted in every faculty, but it's the idea that man is simply sick with sin. And he can actually overcome that sickness. And overcoming that sickness, he can cooperate with God to save himself. And that's still, sadly, what the Roman Catholic Church confesses today, semi-Pelagianism. Well, that's the Roman Catholic Church. But many, even in the broader Reformed church world today, deny that man's nature is totally depraved. They do. And adherence to common grace, logically, they must eventually deny Psalm 51, verse 5, and the truth that we are wholly corrupt of ourselves. Adherence to common grace teach that man's nature is not totally depraved, but they teach that man can actually do good in civil matters. That is, natural man, unregenerated man, can do good in society. If you speak to them about that, they may say something like this. They may say, well, consider that that wicked man who gave millions of dollars to children in Africa. Did not he do something that is pleasing to God, even to the glory of God? They're saying that about unregenerated man. That's the third point of common grace. That's a denial of Psalm 51, verse 5, and that man, naturally, unregenerated man, is totally polluted with sin. Also, those who subscribe to free will today believe that natural man is not totally corrupt in every area, but really is basically good. That man is free is really, that natural man is free is really the view behind spiritual self-help books today. And it's really the view behind much of the broader church world's work in social reforms. Many believe today that you can go into a broken down neighborhood that all has all of these problems with different things, and you can simply educate them, and by educating them, remove sin from that neighborhood, really cure that neighborhood of sin. It's a denial, Psalm 51, verse 5, a denial of our sinful natures. And last, those who teach the well-meant offer of the gospel really must logically deny this truth. They must logically deny the truth that man is wholly corrupt of himself. The free offer of the gospel is the idea that on the Sabbath day, the minister proclaims, he speaks the word, and God, speaking through him, offers salvation to everyone in the pew. And all that you have to do is accept that offer. So man just has to accept that offer in order to get saved. Well, if man has to accept an offer in order to get saved, then in their view, man cannot be shapen in iniquity and conceived in sin. He cannot be full of sin in every faculty. Can't be. Now, we've spoken of the views of others, but we have to look at ourselves too. We have to look at ourselves tonight. I also do not want to confess my sinful nature and my pride either. I do not, in my pride, want to confess my sinful nature before God. I do not want to confess my actual sins, and I certainly don't want to confess my sinful nature. I do not want to say, I cannot do anything good of myself. I do not want to acknowledge that I cannot somehow save myself and bring myself up out of the pit of death. I don't want to say that. Naturally, I'm proud. I also do not want to make a public confession of my sins and sinfulness to others. I want others to speak highly of me, highly of my character. I would much rather rub someone else's name in the mud when they do the wrong thing than admit my own sinful nature. We do not want to confess our own sinful natures, but we also do not naturally confess the sinful nature of our unborn or infant child. When we hold that newborn child in our arms, we like to think that child is innocent, perfect, white as the snow. We do not like to think that little child we hold, that we
that we already love so much. We do not want to think that that child is naturally, apart from Christ, a spiritually perverted monster. We don't want to confess